Welcome
they
back.
Got to them. The dark web got to the committee. I can't believe it. The world we live in now. How do you leave Nebraska out?
Welcome back.
Gotten the Chad too. He's buzzing.
This is our Hoops HD Report NCAA Tournament Edition. And in NCAA Tournament style, I'm going to introduce everybody here in alphabetical order. I am Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs. I guess we go Joby Fortson, John Salika, John Titel, Matt Zukowski, and Rocco Miller. So anybody that was fun seeing...
I made it!
You could have skipped past me, Chad, given what happened to my team.
Notice the tape delay is about what happened on the real thing, too.
The bracket is out. Championship week is done. NCAA tournament play-in games start tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Real games start on Thursday. And we've got a lot to get to tonight. We are going to start by discussing teams that made it and didn't make it. Then we're going to go through the bracket and give you all the winners. So if you're looking to win your pool, take down what we tell you tonight, and you're the champion, just cash your check. Right? Right, David?
Right. Right. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yes. And then you just got to send us the proceeds
we get 10% of every winning bracket.
Right. And Chad, I do have kind of an announcement here. During the NCAA tournament, all of our fans will be getting free chili.
Free chili.
Free chili. Free chili.
Free chili. Yeah. Free chili. Just got to call our number. Call into us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just got to call the number.
All right. We're going to end the show today with the announcement of the AC8 tournament. That's our own Hoops HD tournament we host, we sponsor. It's going to be tons of fun. We had some problems with it last year, but then.
Well, some problems as in you, the venue you chose, Chad, was a boat that sank. I think that was the singular problem with what we had last year.
Well, it was a minor issue, but let's get right to here. Here is our list with a bunch of different matrix attached to it. Thank you for putting this together for us. Of the last eight teams in and the top eight teams out. And Titel, let me start with you. You are our selection committee guessing expert. You didn't have quite as good of a year this year, though, did you?
No, I did not. Thank God my Quakers and Wildcats did. So it eased the pain. So my two misses were on the first four out. I thought St. Mary's and USC would make it in. And on the last four in, I thought that Arizona State and Syracuse would be out. So, I mean, I'm not displeased with picking 66 of 68 correct. I just don't know how the team that was second in the Pac-12 in the regular season and the postseason missed out. And I still don't know how St. Mary's, with all of their wins and a win over Gonzaga, lost to a Syracuse team that was just a great strength of schedule. Like, that jumps off the page in terms of that column.
You can thank your friends in Princeton in part for USC getting dinged on their profile.
Oh, they're no friends of mine.
Not only did the second place team in the Pac-12 that made it to the championship game and lost there get left out, but Rocco, you're a Pac-12 guy also. The ninth place team that lost in the first round playing game of the Pac-12 tournament is in. How do you reconcile that?
Yeah, it's hard because they really wanted to recognize the full body of work and make emphasis of it. But if you guys read the LA Times article last night by Bill Plaschke talking about how his interview with Andy Enfield made a great point. And he said, why do we even play the Pac-12 conference schedule? It basically, everything that they decided between both USC and Arizona State were decided before the start of January. They wanted to penalize USC for what they did before the conference play started. And they wanted to reward Arizona State for everything that they accomplished before conference play started. It's a big problem. They need to figure out how to address it because I'm not saying Arizona State didn't belong in. I thought the resume was good enough to be right there at the cut line. But I don't understand how a USC team who finished second place, made it all the way to the conference final, has the highest RPI ever on a major conference team to not get in, got snubbed, unless we want to start going into some of the FBI stuff, which is a whole nother subject.
Joby, you're a metrics guy. You create JNG rating. Look at all of USC's metrics down here. Look at Arizona State's metrics. Every single one of them, USC is better. Every single one.
Yeah. Except there is one category that is a big news around USC's neck, and that is
How many teams that made this field did USC beat? How many? That's a big factor. I mean, that's a big factor. I actually didn't have as big a problem. I didn't have as big a problem with the Arizona State USC issue, because when you talk about full body of work, we'll beat someone in the field, and you can talk about full body of work. There were other Pac-12 teams that made the field, so to speak. So I didn't have as huge a problem. And what it's clear the committee did this year, because, yeah, I do a regression analysis of the J&G every year, try to make it better. One thing that a component of the J&G that clearly had no impact and needs to maybe even be removed altogether is conference record did not matter. Did not matter. For Syracuse, it didn't matter. Yeah. That was one of the J&G missed too, just like Tytel. Syracuse conference record, they were sitting below 500, did not matter. Same with Arizona State. Maybe a different committee has a different view next year. But if you think about it, they never say, well, conference record's one of our criteria. Maybe that's – we need to – Andy Enfield may be right. Maybe we just don't distinguish between conference record and out-of-conference, except in terms of who you tried to schedule. St. Mary's. So.
Well, they have said that before. This is one of the frustrations from people that I think do what, Rocco and John Tytel do. And you're kind of shooting – well, not just – okay, for them and for a lot of other people that are trying to put together the kind of season that will land you in the NCAA tournament, you're aiming at a moving target because it is a revolving door. It's two in and two out every year. And in the past, they put a lot of emphasis on conference standings. There was a year where I thought Drexel, this was 06, 07, I want to say it was 07, had a really good season, and the stated reason for leaving them out was where they were in the conference standings. That was the year that Tytel's guy, the AD from Penn, was the chairman of the committee, or was it the Princeton AD? It may have been his enemy. It was either his guy or his enemy. I don't remember, but it was one, David, of the two.
We know that the infamous worst year, quote-unquote, for the committee was when my former AD was chair, and they literally looked like went to conference standings and drew lines. They literally, okay, top two from Mountain West. Okay, top four or five from this conference. Top six from the ACC. Yeah, it was actually hilarious. It looked very lazy, and so to speak.
Right, but one of the things I noticed about this committee, and again, it was this committee. Next year, it could be entirely different. We have a new chair. We have a new chair, a new vice chair, and two new people next year, and it might not be the same. Was they valued not necessarily your overall strength of schedule, but the individual teams that teams played out of conference. And I think this is symptomatic of having athletic directors on the committee, is that they think like athletic directors, and some things are going to go sideways, and they could get hung up on, in this case, who did you schedule out of conference? And Oklahoma State was left out. St. Mary's was left out. Notre Dame, while their overall strength of schedule wasn't that strong, played LSU, Wichita State, Michigan State, Indiana, and half their out-of-conference schedule was notable games, opened it to DePaul. And again, should you in my opinion, you can't just put together a strong schedule and be rewarded for doing that. You have to actually do something against it. Now, you should play a strong schedule, but not because – you should play a strong schedule because it gives you chances to establish yourself, not because you should be rewarded for doing just that. And there have been times in the past where I think the committee has done that, and I think they did it again this year.
Yeah, just and you're looking opinion. David, not even on this list of the last eight in is Alabama, who tied the record with 15 losses. Again, great schedule, a lot of great wins there. Yeah, but they're not even on the last eight in.
And this is why, I mean, I have not heard a solution to this problem that's better than the one that I've come up with, and that's that I should just be in charge of all this. I should pick the teams and seed the bracket. That way there's no controversy. But short of that, I wish I could be in the room to just say, guys, they put together a good schedule. So did Texas Southern. Let's take Texas Southern. Who? Yeah, Rocco, oh, wait, actually, they did take Texas Southern, yeah. I guess.
Savannah State.
Yeah.
Rocco, you did really well in the bracket matrix, I think, at least, you know, in the top 10 or top 12 this year, even better than Tytel, correct?
Yeah, I think I might have tied for like 20th. But I was only seven points from the leader, but there's just a lot of people jammed at the top there. But I was going to point out, you know, I don't like the fact that the conference tournaments are virtually meaningless now. You know, I had two misses on more than one seed line away. They were both in the Big East, Creighton and Providence. Creighton, a team that lost to Providence in the first game. Providence, a team that took kind of the country by storm on that run to the final and taking Villanova to overtime. And it seemed to be meaningless for both of their seeds. Creighton ended up an 8, Providence ended up a 10. And then when you look at the bubble teams, you know, in years past, you've looked at teams like Arizona State. They match up with a Colorado team that's going nowhere, and they're playing in a neutral site game in an empty arena in Las Vegas, and they can't even come within single digits of them. How do you put a team like that in the field with that being their final interview, per se? I think that should come back and matter again like it used to. You know, Syracuse got blown out against North Carolina in their last performance. At least if they would have shown some fight, I could have felt better about putting them in. I just don't like how the fact that a lot of these conference tournaments are meaningless, the bracket's done before the American Championship even starts. I don't like any of that. I predict that it's going to happen now because we've seen it year in and year out, but I'd love for some sort of reform there.
But I think another question to Rocco's point, did the Big Ten benefit this year by Michigan actually getting some consideration because they beat, Purdue and Michigan State along the way, but they were a week ahead of time compared to usual because they play their tournament at Madison Square Garden as opposed to their traditional Indy or Chicago site.
And that's a great point, John, because the committee doesn't start meeting until early in that second week of championship fortnight. And so they have Michigan's full resume, including that tournament at that point. And they did it looks like they really did fully consider it by giving them that 3 seed. But let's go ahead and pull this down here and let's go to the actual bracket.
Can I ask one more question about this? Sure. Format will never change. They'll never do it any differently for any other sport. The 10 spots on the committee will go on a rotating basis from conference to conference. And in the case of men's basketball, it'll always be someone high up, a senior AD or a conference commissioner. Should they maybe open up one or two more spots to have either someone from the staff, like the NCAA staff office in Indianapolis as part of it, or maybe someone that's not even under the umbrella of the NCAA, kind of like what the football committee does? Would that be good, bad, both or neither, or is it just fine the way that it is? I'm curious, because every year we're talking about something the committee did that was collectively not liked, and in this year the thing is they just got hung up on scheduling.
I think they just
talkative crowd tonight.
That's what it's like. Kept it consistent for year to year, even if you don't totally agree with it, okay, say whatever. It's road and neutral, strength of schedule, or big wins in conference record. Just keep whatever it is, keep it consistent year to year. Don't change it for like, oh, what do you think? Oh, you did well against teams away from home, have a good road and neutral. You might actually be a decent champ. No, you weren't really considered that much.
Right. But it acts like any other committee, Matt. It's people that primarily do other things. And maybe, you know, some weeks you have more time to devote to this than others. And when you look at, you know, the makeup of this committee, they're busy throughout the year. They're busy doing other things, and they rush through it. I mean, and they're human. And I don't know if it should change. I kind of like it. I kind of like it the way that it is. But another part of me, too, seems to – because there isn't, I mean, the guidelines are so open-ended. The 36 best teams. Well, that could mean 20 different things to 10 different people.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one reason why I think it probably should remain is because at least we have that format in place. And I compare the football committee, who, you know, we have that format in place. It's different. But you have the exact same arguments, and we're only talking about four teams.
Yeah.
The exact same arguments pop up in the football committee. Should Alabama have even been in it this year was a legitimate argument. Should Ohio State been in it over Penn State the year before? It's the nature of things. People want to see what they want to see. And let's face it, people who complain are always going to be louder than people who don't.
Right.
And Shelby, I will agree that at the end of the day, everybody that got left out, had they won a few more games, would have been in. And everybody that got in there at the end, you know, hey, they at least won enough to get there. So
had you can't just thrown the ball down the court with 0.9 seconds to go. Yeah. Hypothetical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Louisville. Exactly.
And with Notre Dame being so close, yeah. Let's get to that. What? Okay.
Yeah. Let's get onto the bracket here, though. We could do about 3 hours on this, and yeah. I think we will during the off season at least. But let's go ahead and take a look at the actual bracket, because we want to tell everybody who's going to win the national championship.
Right.
And it's coming up there on the screen, and we're going to start in the South region in the Charlotte pod there, Virginia, UMBC. Creighton and Kansas State in the all Marcus Foster game. Marcus Foster, of course, started his career at K-State for 2 years, now at Creighton. Joby, given that your Hoos are here, I assume that nobody's going to actually pick UMBC to beat them, but what do you think about that, the potential second round opponent, who it's going to be, and what you like in those games?
I actually like the round of all of this, I could come to eat my, words on this. I actually like the matchup for Virginia in the second round. Please don't give me a Big Ten school. Please don't give me someone who's seen the pack line repeatedly. That's great. And Creighton, Kansas State, I think they're going to fight it out. K-State, I would like to give the advantage to because of the in and out every game against the Big 12, whereas Creighton, at least you get a few breaks here and there, DePaul. In the Big East. But that hasn't been the way it's played out the last few years in the tournament. So I can't be too haughty on that. I'd choose K-State in that one to play Virginia, who will have this UMBC team who's tougher than most 16 seeds. But Virginia should be able to handle a 15 seed masquerading as a 16, just the same.
So you're going with Virginia over K-State, though, I assume.
Yes, I actually feel relatively good about that. John Titel tell me where I'm not feeling so good. I have a feeling, if you know
Titel, let me ask you about that Creighton K-State game, because I kind of suspect that Marcus Foster could score about 3 million points in this game, couldn't he?
So I was actually on the Big 12 teleconference call today and asked Bruce Weber about it, because it's not that Foster like was an average player. Like, when they played in the NCAA tourney in 2014, when Foster was a freshman for Kansas State, he led the team in scoring with 15 against Kentucky. They lost by single digits to John Calipari. He was a good player and is a good player, and I think he's going to be out to show his old coach and old team something. That being said, this is the Wildcat region, so I'm going to go with the Wildcats for now. I don't think they can beat Virginia, like Joby says. I think that Tony should feel very confident in that game.
There's going to be a lot of focus on Marcus Foster, but don't forget their defensive stopper in Kyrie Thomas. He had actually held Trayvon Blewett to single digits in their matchup in Omaha back in February.
Right. And Tita, let me stick with you in the all Wildcat pod of the all Wildcat region in Boise there. I don't know what Buffalo's doing there. They somebody else should be there. But do you see an upset in either of those first two round games, and who do you like to come out of this entire pod here?
It's a shame Weber State wasn't free to replace Buffalo, so it could have been an all-Wildcat. So I saw Davidson in person yesterday as they didn't destroy Rhode Island. They won by a single point, and it was a great game throughout. Such a gutty performance because more Rhode Island fans in the crowd. Rhode Island is the one seed, the defending champ, preseason player of the year in E.C. Matthews. But Peyton Aldridge just wouldn't stop. And they bring this guy, Keyshawn Pickett. He entered the game 0-for-8 from behind the arc in the month of March. Literally like the last guy you would want to take a shot. He comes out and just knocks out like 3 threes in a row. I forget if it was late in the first half or the second half. Like, I still don't believe he did it because how could they let him shoot? And I asked Coach McKillop about it at the press conference. He said, yeah, like this morning we noticed like he'd been having an off month. So what we did is like we showed him 10 video clips to show that he wasn't balanced right. He was kind of leaning too much instead of straight up. And it occurred to me like he even the day before the championship game of the whole season, after you've played 30-something games, they're still coaching up their bench guys. Like, NCAA college basketball coaches, they get a bad rap on many things. Kudos to McKillop. Like, he's coaching his team up to the last minute of the last game. Incredible.
So what are you taking in these three games here, Titan?
So I'm taking Kentucky. I could see if Davidson hits threes. I saw them hit 16 to beat the Bonnies the other day. It's possible. But I think Kentucky just has too much raw talent. There's no way I'm picking Buffalo. You think I'm going with Hurley's old team against my team? Forget it. And then I'll take the biased pick of Arizona, only because Ayton will be the best player on the floor. And, like, Kentucky has more talent top to bottom. And if we were playing a veteran team, I'd be very nervous because our defense is not championship, much less Final Four worthy. So shame on anyone who picks us to the Final Four, because I don't think it's happening this year. But Kentucky's young enough that I like our chances.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt is still going to be out this first weekend for Kentucky, although they didn't need him to win the SEC tournament, so I don't know how much that really means. But Sleeka, let me go to you, because Wright State is in the next bracket here, and you are from our Cincinnati guy in the Dallas pod. Miami, Loyola, Chicago, which I'm hearing is a very trendy upset pick, plus the Wright State-Tennessee game.
Yeah, I would also be going with Loyola as far as the upset pick goes. Porter Moser is a part of the Rick Majerus coaching tree, and defense should certainly be at a premium in this one. But as much as I've seen Wright State play this year, I just don't think they're going to be able to knock off Tennessee. But if Grant Benzinger gets hot from three, they can certainly make it interesting in that one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Puppet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, this is a really good game for Wright State to play. I don't want to say that it's winnable, but they're certainly capable of making it interesting if they play well. And what's exciting about this experience is the fact that they have they only have one senior starter and only one senior coming off the bench, who rarely comes off the bench. I think a total of 8 minutes all year. So, I mean, for a young team that's got not just the nucleus but all of it back for next season, this is just an invaluable experience. They're just playing with house money.
Sleeka, how about Loyola Tennessee second round game then?
I know Dallas is a little bit inland, but I'll still go with the Admirals team here, and that'll be Tennessee.
All right. There we go. We're filling out the bracket for you here, and I guess, Rocco, let me go to you for the Nashville bracket here with a very interesting Nevada-Texas game. And Ron Hunter, can he pull off the upset and fall off his chair again against Cincinnati?
Well, thanks, Chad. Nashville's a very fine city. I was actually just there a few weeks ago. I wish I was back this week for these games. But Nevada-Texas is a battle between two teams that are a little thin. Bamba's still banged up. He only played 14 minutes in the last game. He missed the first game of the Big 12 tournament. Nevada's got Drew out for the season. I like Nevada mainly because they got to go up against Brandon McCoy three different times this year at UNLV. So if we just assume Bamba's healthy and Nevada's got to go up against a big guy, they've got a good game plan to get through that. And I think they're just a little bit more hungry. I think Shaka Smart's group is just relieved they made the tournament. I think he was going to be pretty much on the hot seat if they missed the tournament. And I think Nevada, after last year's experience, you know, they played Iowa State in the first round last year. They didn't show up in the first half, had to rally in the second half to make it a game. I think they're going to be a lot more prepared this year. The Martin Twins are ready to at least get into the round of 32. So I'll go with Nevada. And Ron Hunter, one of my favorites, that game 2 years ago when he fell off the chair, one of my favorite memories out of any year. So I'll certainly be pulling for them, but I think Cincinnati's too strong. Can't pick against Cincinnati, especially playing pretty close proximity to home. And then I think Cincinnati defensively is just going to frustrate Nevada and get through to the Sweet 16.
Well, Matt, let me ask you to take it home in the South region there. Assuming these four teams get through there, who would win? Who would get that Final Four bid?
I'm going with Joby's Hoos. I think this is a very good draw for them. I think they'll carve Arizona up on the defensive end, and then they'll have a game plan to stop Aiden. So, yeah, I'll go with Virginia, Cincinnati over Tennessee. This will not be a lot of pretty games this region. And then, yeah, I'll go with Virginia over Cincinnati in a true smash and grab of about 50-45.
All right, guys, we did a great job picking the top four teams and the ones to pick.
Yeah. So all chalk in the South.
David, I'm gonna scroll down here to the West region, David. Let me start off with you. I gotta go back to Sleek. Sorry, I'll get you for the second pod. So Sleek, I gotta take you for the first pod there because it is your Xavier team. First of all, who do you like in the NC Central Texas Southern game? And then what about the rest of the pod there with Missouri and Florida State also?
I think Texas Southern is going to be amped to finally win a non-conference game.
I'd forgotten about that.
We would have said the same thing had Pine Bluff won this one. In all seriousness, I would go with Texas Southern to win that one, but Xavier should win comfortably, I would say, by about 15 or 20 points in that game. But Missouri, they're going to have their second leading scorer suspended, but at the same time, as we said last year, can you really trust a Leonard Hamilton coach team in March? I'm going to say Missouri moves on. They'll probably keep it within 10 in the second round, but I just have to see Xavier getting to the Sweet 16 and going out to La La Land.
Yeah, Matt, do you agree with that? I know you were high on this Florida State team all season, and with Barnett out and Michael Porter Jr. still a big question mark of whether he's going to be able to contribute, you really think that Missouri knocks off Florida State?
No, actually, I think Florida State actually has the personnel. They've got a bunch of long athletic wings of their own. I think they match up pretty well with Missouri. And Barnett was their most consistent floor spacer. I think taking him out, that's tough. Even though Florida State looked like trash for most of their ACC tournament game, I'm going to still take him over Missouri.
But I also want to make another footnote here. In reality, if you go by the actual NCAA seed list, it's like an 8 playing a 10 here, but because we had Villanova and Xavier in two regions, as well as Creighton and I think it was Seton Hall as 8s, you couldn't have Butler and Providence in their natural position as 9, so this is one reason why Florida State got bumped up here.
They completely screwed up the 8 line because Missouri should be in the Midwest.
David, despite that comment, I'm going to go to you anyhow for that Boise pod. Where Ohio State gets a very dangerous South Dakota State team, in my opinion, and the Zags are in there. Last year's national runner-up against UNC Greensboro.
Yeah, strong and a pretty good Greensboro team. I'll start with that one. I just think that they're running into a buzzsaw where I think this is a case where Gonzaga's seed is more reflective of their paper than how good they actually are. So you got to go with the Zags. In the other game, I mean, this one is ripe for an upset. But really, what makes me so upset about this is how the dark web got to the committee and put Ohio State in when in reality it should be Nebraska. So I think I'm going to go with Nebraska in this game.
Because of that, Tytel, do you want to jump in and pick the rest of this pod?
So 12-5 is obviously the most common upset in college basketball tournaments. As far as the 12-5 matchups, usually it happens about twice a year. And I think all four are in play this year. I don't like Murray State's chances, not to give away the whole bracket. I really like New Mexico State's chances. And since I already bailed on Davidson, as much as I like Chris Holtman, you know my distaste of first-year coaches. So let's put the South Dakota State and advance them one, please.
Yeah, nice going, Big Ten. Nebraska would never lose that game.
Like the fact the game's in Boise, which is a hell of a lot closer to South Dakota than Ohio is. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Joby, do you think they could take the Zags also and go two rounds?
No.
Okay. I don't.
That's a rematch of last year's first round, actually.
And Spokane is a heck of a lot closer to Boise than here or wherever South Dakota State is based. I apologize. I do not.
Rocco, let me we sent you to Nashville already. Let's send you to Wichita as well, with a very interesting Houston-San Diego State game, in my opinion, followed by the Michigan-Montana game.
Well, if I was an Aztec player, this would be the furthest I've been all season, because San Diego State has not played a game outside of the Mountain or Pacific time zone, so this will be their longest trip. As for the matchup, it's a sexy one. Both teams are coming in hot. Mr. Gray and Houston are playing well. Kel on San Diego State is killing it. It's going to be a fun game. I think it'll come down to the wire, a really exciting game to watch, but I am going to go with Houston. And then in terms of the Michigan-Montana game, I think Montana is underrated. It's just a really tough matchup. The one thing that I think Montana can maybe get going for them is Michigan's had a long layoff. I know they've been practicing every other day to try to get ready for this. Montana could get a nice first half lead going, so watch out for that. But otherwise, even if they do, I still think at some point in the second half, Michigan will slowly force their will. Bo Magner and everybody, Wagner will get it going, and they'll pull it out at the end. But that could be a lot closer than people think. And then in the next round, I think Houston's kind of playing with house money. But I do think Michigan will survive that game as well. But I think they're in for two tough games.
All right. Joe, let me head back to you for this Charlotte pod here, because I know you love North Carolina so much. I assume you're not taking Lipscomb, but what about the A&M Providence?
That is, yeah, and it's that 7-10 game is much like the 8-9 that Virginia has. It's a really tight game here. The question is, I think it will depend on which A&M team shows up, and did Providence blow everything out in the Big East tournament? Did they do everything in there? They came so close, and they didn't follow through at the end of the day. Does that hurt? Does that sort of – sometimes you see those teams with runs, all of a sudden they spin it all in the conference tournament. As such, I think the schizo Texas A&M team will go, and I do think North Carolina will beat Lipscomb. The thing with Carolina, and we'll see in the next game, is Carolina has a tendency to disappear shooting-wise, because besides Barry, they don't have consistency from the outside. There are opportunities. The thing is, A&M's lack of guard play, and guard play is so important when you start getting there. It could be the perfect, matchup to not take advantage of Carolina, ironically. I think that could happen, hint, hint, in the next round. Carolina.
So would you take Carolina?
Yeah.
You're taking Carolina.
Right. Yes, I am.
Well, Tytel, let me throw the hypothetical over to you here now. Assuming we get Xavier, Gonzaga, Michigan, North Carolina, again, the top four seeds, where would you take to win this region?
I think they're all coin flips, because they all have great coaches who've made deep runs in the tournament. I mean, if I had to pick, which I do, I think people love Michigan too much, if that's possible. Like, I know they had a great run in the Big Ten tourney. And I know they have three-point shooting and great defense and make free throws and everything. But I think North Carolina is the more talented team, and I think they showed in the ACC tourney that they're capable of beating good teams. So I think I'm going to go Tar Heel to give Joby his chance for an all-ACC Final Four. And then as far as Xavier Gonzaga, like, I'll defer to Stalica, but even though Mark Few lost a ton of talent, like, he still brings back a ton of guys. Killian Tilly, your reigning conference tourney MVP. I don't know if Blewett is going to score 30 a game like he did against Arizona last year, it seemed like. So I kind of want to take the Zags in this one, but I'm open to opinion, of course.
Well, they do have a Tilly that can cause a matchup problem, but at the same time, Xavier can counter with Karim Cantor, who can also go out to the perimeter if necessary to match 3-for-3. But at the same time, Gonzaga plays seven guys regularly. Xavier does utilize the deeper bench, but I think the X factor for Xavier will be how good will Gooden and how will an improved Paul Scruggs be as far as running the point. I think Xavier, personally, I think they do get over the hump against Gonzaga, but it'll be a hard time trying to get past North Carolina to get their first Final Four bid.
Matt, you had a comment on it?
I might break the tiebreaker at Xavier Gonzaga. I think this is actually an awful matchup for Gonzaga. As much I really like
it. Really? Oh, I think it's a horrible matchup for Xavier.
No, Gonzaga, the one thing they don't really have in their roster is that athletic 6'6", 6'7" guy. Well, Mikura, Blewett, and Marshall, I think all of them are giving issue to Gonzaga. I think Xavier's Achilles weakness is quick guards. Perkins and Melson are skilled, but they're not real quick getting into the lane. So, actually, I like Xavier and, man, I would take Xavier by close to 10 in that game, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Well, David, let me let you break the tie now because we've gone all over the place on this, on that game, and give me the winner of the region also.
Well, I think it's North Carolina that wins the regional, whether it's Xavier or Gonzaga. But I mean, when you look at what this Gonzaga team did, and I know it's not entirely the same lineup to Xavier a year ago, and you look at just how they blew through the West Coast Conference Tournament, and I think that they're just breathing fire right now. And part of me may be a little hung up on how Xavier closed the season against Providence and DePaul and some of these other games. I know they blew past St. John's, but it seems like lately, and I know that as you go through March, the margins get slimmer and slimmer, you know, when you're playing teams for the second and third time, but Gonzaga's didn't get slimmer and slimmer. They got more and more blown out. Just based on that, now Matt did bring up a good point that I didn't think about. But before he said that, I just think this is a bad matchup for Xavier.
Okay, well, let's go with Gonzaga. It was the first team I heard. Either way, we got Carolina winning the region. If I don't scroll too far.
And a rematch of last year's final.
Yeah.
And Matt, I want to go back to you for the Wichita section of the Midwest region out here in Omaha. And can we please get some upsets here? Maybe NC State over Seton Hall, or maybe
– You want an upset? I've got an upset for you. I'm taking Penn over Kansas.
Oh, 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 oh.
Whoa! Throwing your money away.
Wow!
And here's for a legit reason why Kansas so reliant on 3-point shot. Penn very good at not allowing you to take the threes, and the ones you get up on them, they don't hit. So I think Kansas so reliant on the 3-point shot. If it's a close game late, the pressure will be all on them. And also, next factor, Penn coach Steve Donahue won a couple of tournament games at Cornell, a fellow Ivy League school. So I know it seems crazy in that, but man, I think Kansas is the most vulnerable one seed we've seen in years. And there we go. I think it's got to happen at some point. I think this is actually a really good matchup for it.
Do you realize what a travesty that would have been had Missouri been in this region?
That would be funny.
God.
Well, actually, Rocco, let me go to you. How about that Seton Hall NC State game, which I think it could be one of the funnest first round games we have.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. NC State has made the tournament with four big time wins. You know, one of those being out in the Bahamas against Arizona, and then a few in the conference with Clemson, Duke, and UNC. So they've got a knack for stepping up for the big game, and I want to pick them if they can get out and play Kansas. Now that they're playing a team more on their similar playing field with Seton Hall, I'm actually going to take Seton Hall to win because those are the types of games when they played, you know, like the VTechs and the more middle-of-the-pack teams in the ACC, they struggled. So I'm just going to go off that and pick Seton Hall. And –
you gotta pick Seton Hall again. Sorry.
Yeah.
Do I have to pick him again? I kind of want to pick Penn, but
do it. Let's go crazy.
Okay, let's take Seton Hall and just imagine that they have a really nice weekend, no matter who they play.
All right. Let's see here. Salika, let me go back to you for this San Diego pod where we've got Clemson, New Mexico State in a very popular upset pick from what I've seen so far, as well as the Auburn-Charleston game.
This is one of those areas where it might be tempting to go 12 and 13 right here, but I think New Mexico State is experienced enough where I think they can probably pull a 5-12 upset here, but I would not be pressing my luck as far as looking for Charleston to knock off Auburn, because I think this is an area where the Tigers, they probably do get over their little slip up against Alabama. They'll get to the Sweet 16 out of this pod.
I really like that pick because, well, for starters, in the 18 weeks that are the season, New Mexico State had 17 really good weeks, and they did beat a Miami team, albeit early over Christmas, that, in my opinion, right now is playing better than Clemson in their current format, which hasn't quite been the same since the injury, unfortunately for them. But I think they can I know that it was Talika's pick. I think New Mexico State can get all the way to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I would second David on that one. Actually, I think I'm going to have New Mexico State in the Sweet 16 of my
taking on that Penn. Really that would be New Mexico State Penn in the Sweet 16.
Bill's just shaking his head here. Well, on that note, Tytel, can you save the bottom of this bracket in that Detroit package there? Let's start with that Arizona State-Syracuse play-in game, and then there's other games there.
You think I'm picking ASU? Come on. And you think I'm picking Syracuse, the other team who I missed? Get them out of there.
Okay.
TCU advances.
All right, so TCU. Okay. How about this very dangerous Bucknell team against Sparty?
Well, apparently you guys think everybody from the state of Pennsylvania is going to win. So if you want to put Bucknell in, feel free. But if you think Michigan State's going to lose in Detroit, I think you're sorely mistaken.
All right. Well, David, what about Michigan State TCU then? Do you think Michigan State gets out of this section here?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, TCU could step up on them, but I just think Michigan State's the superior team.
At least we have some sanity coming to the Midwest region finally.
Finally.
After we knocked off Kansas. But, Joby, you want to continue with the sanity here? I know you love Duke, so I got to ask you.
Well, I mean, Coach Clueless or whoever, who said that? Great job. Duke, I can't see Duke, despite being sometime dysfunctional when you're a one-and-done team. This is not that. Duke got a very nice draw until they play Sparty. They got a very nice draw because I don't have much faith in either Rhodey or Oklahoma. I mean, if you take a 7-10, any other 7-10, I'd say, ooh, Duke better watch out because of the inconsistency of the freshman. But right here, I think the book is out on Trae Young. Rhode Island has an entire week to prepare. They may not have size, but I don't know if Latin and other Oklahoma players can really take advantage close to the hoop for the lack of Rhode Island size. So I'm going to go with Rhode Island. And then Duke, this is where Duke's size just overwhelms them. Yes.
Rhode Island might get about 10 defensive rebounds all game.
Carter and Bagley doesn't have to shoot. Bagley just has to put his hands above his head and then jump out of the building and dunk it every time down the court. I mean, I think it would get very ugly. It's not just, I'm picking Duke. I'm picking Duke to cover the 8, 9, 10-point spread that will be there.
Well, Rocco, what about this regional potential here with Auburn, Michigan State, Duke, and Kansas? I mean, Seton Hall.
I would actually take Seton Hall to beat Auburn right now. I just don't think Auburn is that strong with – ever since the McIntyre injury, they haven't looked the same. They stubbed their toe a couple times down the stretch. They had that horrible half when Colin Sexton took over against them, and that was their only game in the SEC tournament. So, you know, they got a bye all the way till that point. So, based on what we've seen the last 4 or 5 Auburn performances, I'd be impressed if they even got out to the Sweet 16. And then in the Michigan State Duke game, of course, that's a heavyweight fight. Actually, a great game that we saw in the first week of the season when Grayson Allen went off. I'm going to actually go with Michigan State to win just because I picked them to win the title at the start of the year. I think Duke's had a few flaws along the way this year, and I don't know exactly where they're going to slip up. I just don't think they'll get to the Final Four this season. So I'll have them lose there.
Would you have Michigan State take it off Seton Hall too?
I would, yes. Let's go Michigan State.
All right. Let's go up here to the East region. David, let me start with you on the most important game over there in the Pittsburgh sectional that won't be played in in Pittsburgh. How about LIU Brooklyn versus Radford?
I like Radford in that one. The Blackbirds are a fun team, but I just think Radford's a little better. I was kind of surprised Radford wasn't inside the first four, but, you know, I like Radford in that one.
And do you think Radford is going to knock off Villanova, much like Penn is going to knock off Kansas?
Well, Nebraska would, but since they got snubbed, no, I think Villanova wins.
Big Five pride.
All right. Real interesting 8-9 game there between Vatek and Alabama. Now, Dante Hall is a game-time decision for Alabama from what I'm hearing. But, Tytel, let me ask you, what about that Vatek-Alabama game?
I mean, I forget if it was Rocco or somebody else who said we have another 15-loss team in the tournament for only the second time ever, but it happens to be the second time in consecutive years since Vanderbilt did it last year. I know Sexton is playing like a lottery pick because he's going to be one because he's amazing. He almost single-handedly beat Auburn by himself last week. I don't trust Buzz in the postseason and stuff. I think I'll give it to Virginia. This is a toughie. Virginia Tech had, I think Joby said a couple of weeks ago, like the win over Virginia was the best win of any team this season.
It was.
Well, we already knocked out one Virginia team with Radford, so let's knock out the other Virginia team and go with Bama.
Let's go with Bama. Joby, I know you've got some Bama ties. Do you think they can knock off Nova also?
No. I have a lot of faith to Villanova. Villanova's pieces are getting together. This is a team that now knows how to win. They're going to get past the round of 32. Thus, watch out because they could march a lot further in the tournament. This is one of those years.
Well, Matt, we know how much you hate the Big 12 already, so how about West Virginia, Murray State, and then that Wichita State Marshall game out in San Diego? And can we get it? You give us Marshall?
Yeah, I can't. I fortunately can't because it should have been the first round game. These probably can even flip the fours and fives, but no, I'm going West Virginia and Wichita. I will actually take West Virginia over Wichita, though, in the second round.
Okay, so you are going Huggy Bear there.
Should be flipped. The four and the five should be flipped, and because I would pick Murray State over Wichita, but I can't see them beating West Virginia. So they deprived us of both an upset and a rivalry. Nice job, committee.
Rocco, out in Dallas, first of all, I guess let's talk about that UCLA-St. Bonnie's first four game where the Bonnies are pretty beat up with Stockard and Iani both looking like they'll probably be out. They could still play, but who do you like in that game, first of all?
Well, it's a quick turnaround, too. That game's tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because yes. The Syracuse game's Wednesday. Okay, yeah, so with that quick turnaround, and I don't think Stockard's going to be ready for that. UCLA is also playing very well. They were really close to knocking off Arizona in the semis. The game went to OT. Holiday's playing the best basketball he's played all year in the last couple of weeks. Took over the game against USC in Galen Center when they won by 11. So I definitely like UCLA. And then Florida is a team that's also red hot. I think UCLA-Florida is almost an unfair matchup for both teams, only because UCLA I didn't think belonged in a play-in game. I thought they did enough to be in the main bracket, and then Florida being as hot as they are. So, but Florida's been off and on, and maybe it's time for them to go off. I'm going to take UCLA.
That's a good pick. All right.
And the play-in winner – a play-in winner every year seems to win at least one game, and this will be the one.
Yep. Yeah, they have one every year, and I think this is prime.
Yep. Of course, I'm not taking.
The world hates it. It's going to be the other one that none of those teams belong in the field. But
right, I'm not picking either of those teams. So let's go with UCLA.
Yeah.
And then down in Dallas, this is a fun one. Stephen F. Austin, Texas Tech. I saw your interview today with the SFA coach. That was fantastic. I do like SFA to pull this off. Texas Tech has not played very well. And Stephen F. Austin is starting to peak at the right time. They had three tough tests in the Southland tournament. And they get to play, you know, along I-20. And they'll have a pretty good backing there in Dallas. So let's go with the upset.
And so you put UCLA into the Sweet 16 out of the play-in game?
Yeah, and then I will have UCLA get to the Sweet 16. But that's
all right. Another year where UCLA barely makes the field and gets to the Sweet 16, just like 2 years ago, is what we're calling here. David?
What's that? Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, like, in another year – well, the difference was last time they shouldn't have made the field and they were inside the first four. This time they should have made the field and they almost missed it and have to play in the first four. Good job, committee.
Well, David, do you want to take our last pod there? Arkansas, Butler, and does Cal State Fullerton have any shot against Purdue?
No. Purdue coasts in that one, and as much fun as it would – be to see them play Butler for that reason alone, because like fun things just don't happen. Well, and Arkansas, I just think they're playing a little better than Butler at the moment. I think it's like we get Arkansas, Purdue, and I like Purdue in this matchup. They weren't always great, but they were really good for most of the year. And yeah, I think they get through to the Sweet 16.
Well, Stalika, how about that Villanova-Wichita State potential matchup there in the East region?
That's a good game.
I think with Villanova finally getting over the hump as far as the round of 32, they should be able to get by Wichita State without too much in the way of difficulty right here. And then Purdue, I think they have enough bigs to give both UCLA and Villanova some trouble. So I think Purdue is going to avenge their Gabbett game matchup from last season. They'll beat UCLA, and they should make their first Final Four going back to 1980 in the days of Joe Barry Carroll.
Wow. And when they made the Final Four in 1980, who did they lose to?
UCLA, wasn't it?
Yes!
I tell, that's a game that never happened.
Hashtag. So we have the ACC Big Ten Challenge back.
Yes, look at that.
And I hate to tell you, if they whipped their ass, I think it would happen again. Just fine.
Well, Joby, let me ask you about. Let me have you make a call.
Don't let me do this because I honestly have an honest opinion of this, and I don't want to.
Well, but Joby, I want to make you have you make a call.
Carolina has a real matchup problem with Virginia. They do. Luke May had an amazing game, but Pinson didn't. Whoever they kind of need both pieces to work, and whoever Wilkins guards, defense ACC defensive player of the year, they have trouble with. And so Virginia was hot. That was a big deal. But North Carolina was a little hot too. I like Virginia as the matchups go well. I feel a lot more concerned with Duke, to be honest, in an ACC matchup. On the other side, not a believer in Sparty, but – the book is out on how to play Purdue. I don't think Purdue gets here, first off, because you let Jared Haas have his points. You prevent those three guards on the outside from killing you. And so you don't – early on, because Haas is the best player, everybody would collapse. Michigan State, I think, can figure that out. And I think Izzo, in a head-to-head matchup, gets the win over Purdue. And we have, is it revenge after being knocked two times out? I'll let other people vote. It's so close, but I would actually vote for us, but I can't believe I'm saying that. I honestly believe if it really were Michigan.
I think Virginia scores 59 points and wins by 10 in this game.
Rocco, what do you think?
I think if it gets this far, Michigan State's playing this well, I would take Michigan State.
All right. Let's go through everybody then. Ty Tal, who would you take in a Virginia-Michigan State championship game?
So, Joby, how many times have you lost them in a row? Seven, eight? I forget how many.
It's quite a few. The win that could have been, just for a note, in a Big Ten ACC game where Virginia was up by 8 to 10 points at the 10-minute to go mark, had complete control. Ice melted on the Richmond Coliseum floor. Game canceled. Virginia misses the tournament because they don't have a quality out of conference win. So even when we're beating them, we don't beat them.
Is that a true story?
True story.
Well, since the conspiracy theorists think that USC might be out due to some FBI stuff, I will say that that plus karma means the Miles Bridges team is not going to go. So I will go with the Hoos if this is the scenario, which I frankly don't think will be the scenario.
Right. who'd you have in the game?
I think in a year where everything is just about broken right for Virginia, I would take the Hoos in this one.
Matt, you on the Hoos also?
Yes, I would be. If this were, forget the history. If this were Virginia, Michigan State, I'm going Virginia. You'd have a much better Virginia Villanova game that we don't have up here.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. Let's take a step back here. In fact, I could probably shrink this down a little bit to put the whole bracket on the screen. But let's get the whole bracket here. That's a lot. But I want to go through each of you and tell me who your actual real Final Four is, as opposed to this bracket that got completely sabotaged by Mr. Zukowski. Let's go through each of you and tell me who are your Final Four and who is your national champion based on the bracket that came out. And Joby, let me start with you.
Yeah, you had to go with me. I'm going to go. Sean Miller plays a pack line, Arizona. I think it. I unfortunately think that's going to be what happens. Arizona, Gonzaga, Villanova. And, God, that bracket's just a bunch of crap. You know what? Let's go Duke. I'd say Krzyzewski puts it together. Go Duke. My champion, and do we say our champion too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Villanova.
Villanova. David, who's your Final Four and who's your national champion?
Well, I got two of them, like Virginia and North Carolina, I would have in there. I actually like Duke to get out of the Midwest region and Villanova out of the East. And I have Virginia over Villanova.
All right. Rocco, how about you?
I actually have Cincinnati and I have Xavier. So that'd be an awesome.
Oh boy! Ooh. the city will not survive.
Oh man,
will not survive. It'll be like when Louisville played Kentucky in the Final Four.
The state didn't survive. Have you been there recently?
yes, I have actually. Yeah.
It's gone.
I might have to go back if that happens.
Yeah,
and then I do have Villanova, Michigan State on the other side, and then I do see the championship game. Sorry, Stalica, Villanova over Cincinnati in the finals.
All right, Stalica.
If Cincinnati plays Xavier in the Final Four, that might be the greatest thing in the history of things.
Stalica, who are you going with?
Rule of thumb, I would only take Duke to win a national title if they're playing in Indianapolis or Minneapolis for the Final Four. This year does not qualify, so therefore I'm going to take Virginia out of the South. I'm going to take North Carolina out of the West. I will take the aforementioned Purdue in the East, and with the Midwest, I think I will go with the pick of Michigan State right here. But if I had to go among this group, I'm still going to stick with Virginia over Michigan State in the title game.
All right. Matt, I didn't get yours yet.
All right, well, I might pick a 16 over one, but I actually have the other three ones all in the Final Four. So Virginia, Xavier, Villanova, and I do have Michigan State on that region. I have Villanova over Virginia in a rematch of one of last year's most underrated regular season game.
It's a great game.
It's about 62-60 game. I think Nova just edges it. I think Jalen Brunson makes a couple of plays to win it.
Well, Tytel, do you want to set everybody right on who's really going to be in the Final Four?
I do, but based on my bracket-picking abilities, I'm the last person you should trust, sadly, this year. So you always have to put a couple number one seeds in there, but not all four, for God's sake. So I'm not sold on, sorry, Stalica, Xavier as a number one seed, especially because they're going to have to go across the country to Los Angeles, and they got a ton of other great coaches in the West region. So I'm actually going to go with Gonzaga to come out of the West, partially because it's the West, partially because now that they have the monkey off their back, they know what it takes to get there. As far as the South, I can't believe I'm not picking a Wildcat, but I really think it's Virginia's year. I didn't believe in this team at the start of the year. I thought it was just defense, but the fact that they can go out and play against high-scoring teams and beat them in high-scoring games if necessary or not, and I think there's just too many – every team has problems, obviously, but I can identify problems in the other teams like Arizona and Kentucky and stuff, so – I'm not a believer in even my own team, sadly. As far as the East, I really like Villanova as the one seed. I also don't love any of the other top four. It's funny, in the first week of January when we gave our Final Four picks, mine included Villanova, Purdue, West Virginia, and Xavier. three of them are the top four or top five seeds in one region. So I'm glad that I had them all good. I didn't realize they were all going to end up playing each other. So Villanova, as far as the Midwest, I don't think it's going to be Penn, sadly. I think you've all forgotten, like, Coach K against Izzo in March, Coach K, big advantage. Beat him in the Final Four multiple times. If it was in Detroit, I'd think about it, but I really think Duke can come out of this region. And then as far as the title game, I haven't given it a ton of thought because I've had a busy little week, but the seeds are looking pretty good, so I will go with Villanova over Virginia.
Right. Personally, where I'm going a little bit more off the book than the rest of you. Joby, I'm sorry. Out of the South, I'm taking the team that just won the SEC tournament. I'm taking Kentucky in a bit of a surprise there coming out of the South. Also, taking the hot team out of the West, I'm taking Michigan. And from turn to the East, I will take the one seeds on the other side, Villanova, and dedicate to you, Matt, Kansas coming out of the Midwest. I will take Villanova to win it all, though, that's my national champion this year. But on that note, I guess that completes our bracket preview, and we have one other order of business left for the day, though.
Yes, we do.
Let's see if we can get up on the screen here. We had last season, we have a little screen problem here. Give me half a second. Last season, we here at Hoops HD ran our own tournament. We called it the AC8. Here was our bracket from last season. As you can see, we ran it, we played it on a boat that kind of sank into the...
Could you have found a better place to play this tournament than... Where did you come up with, like...
It was a bad idea, I admit it. I'm going to concede that. However, we have a little bit of good news here. Unfortunately, we just lost the screen, so you're going to have to give me half a second to get it back out. So, David, fill for a second here.
Okay, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't have picked a boat. Maybe a playground would have made more sense, Chad. It would have still been a horrible selection for a venue, but it would have made more sense.
We need better filler than that.
This is a debate. We got a debate. Who are the bubble teams here, man?
I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and talk about the 2018 AC8 tournament. It will happen, and we've got good news. We have a better boat. It's not in the river. It has a nice flat surface.
It's in the water. Chad, where are the fans going to sit?
On the beach.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm glad you thought this through.
Right. You can get tickets, and tickets come with why does it say Loyola Chicago?
Yeah, is Loyola Chicago in the field?
Aren't they going to be a little busy?
That was a mistake, so ignore that. That should not have been there. Hopefully the rest of this bracket
We can't have mistakes like this. This is a top-notch run organization here. We're trying to look
professional. I apologize for that, Loyola Chicago. They are not in this field. They are in a different field. I carried over from another screen by accident. But we do have the boat ready. And let's start by revealing the field. We have a very interesting format bracket. Eight teams play off for one spot, and the other team gets a bye into the finals. Same format that the SWAC tournament was supposed to have this year when we got grambling their waiver. So naturally,
this is the Atlantic City 8 with 9 teams that's being played on a boat. Okay.
Naturally, the team with the waiver to the final once again is Grambling State. Right there in the championship game. They deserved it. They won the SWAC for the first time forever.
Yes, they did. Good pick. Like that selection.
The other four games are all named. We all named all the games. Much like the CIT has named all of its first round games, we named all of ours also. The first game, back again for the second year, is the Battle of Riverside Region. Our favorite.
I know what this one is. Yes. The Cal Baptist. Yes.
Head to head. Against UC Riverside.
Yes!
There is venom in this rivalry. This is hatred, man. Correct?
Yeah.
By the way, we do have a scoring update since we're live on tape delay. Cal Baptist is leading late in the first half at Western Oregon 35-30. So
of course they are! The Division II tournament, there it is.
Dog AC8 run.
Yep, if they win this game, they would advance to what I believe is the Sanford Pentagon for the NCAA Elite Eight.
No, Sleeka, they'll be advancing to the boat to take on UC Riverside.
Chad, have you notified these schools to let – or are they just seeing it? Like, is there – at Grambling State, is there sort of any selection party going on? Do we have footage of that right now?
There is not, but we do have in our next region is our Centenary Stolens Award region. Yes, our Centenary Award winner from the year, Delaware State, as the worst team in D1, going up against our Stolens Award winner for the worst power conference win. These two teams didn't meet during the regular season. Pitt won by 6 at home, but David, this is not a neutral court.
Six.
Well, yeah, this is on a neutral floor. Now, I will say that both of these teams are, in fact, worthy of this venue. This suits them perfectly fine. I'm feeling better about this already.
Our third region is the one-on-one region. So we like to switch things up a little bit. Of course, the best one-on-one player of all time is none other than LeVar Ball.
Chad, why did you invite LeVar Ball to the ACA?
Well, but David, I'm not sure that. Now everybody thinks
he plays in Lithuania, and he should stay there.
But David, everyone thinks that he should go up against Michael Jordan, who he could beat one on one. We did one better, just for you, David. He gets 10 miles.
Okay. Now I want to say that LeVar Ball is definitely worth. In fact, no. Bring back the old venue for LeVar Ball, the one that sank. Let's put him in that one.
Our final region here, this is the Save Our School region. And of course, we've got the Savannah State Tigers, who are entering their final year of D1 play next year. We've got to save them, David. We really
do. Yeah, we do. That is, I think this is a preemptive, and we've never preempted it this long before, next year's team of the people.
Yeah, it's going to be unanimous.
Yeah.
Their opponent, of course, Chicago State, the other school that needs saving, significant monetary problems there. Matt, I know you're out in the Chicago area, I think, right? Can we save that?
Yeah, I got to support the local guys there. Sorry about that, Savannah State. Chicago State, an ACA tournament run might save the school.
It might.
Well, of course, 2 years ago, you probably could have also done a little bit of a play-in between Chicago State and South Carolina State, who's also had some problems of their own in recent years.
Yep, they have. Yeah.
For those of you that remember, back about 7 or 8 years ago at least, I think, the MEAC had two teams that were transitioning up at the time, Winston-Salem State and North Carolina Central. And they would invite them every year to the MEAC tournament to play a regular season game on the championship game day. They called it the MEAC bonus game.
Which I thought was kind of cool. The A-Sun never did that, which – you know, when they had four transitional teams, of course the A-Sun was not in a neutral site. But we
decided to bring back the MEAC bonus game, and we've got a great matchup here for the MEAC bonus game. Here it is, another one-on-one matchup, but one of our favorites. It is Jimmy Air Handshake Patsy's bonus.
Yes,
get the screenshot.
Right. I was a little disappointed that Crawley Ridge did not make it this year.
No, Crawley Ridge, unfortunately, was deemed ineligible for the ACA tournament.
Tacoma Falls was snubbed, too.
Yeah, Tacoma Falls was snubbed. I mean, they got a shout-out on the Kyle Lamb show.
Well, we're gonna have to pull up some resume comparisons here on the last few entries and whether or not Tacoma Falls did get snubbed and whether or not we should change our committee selection rules, I guess.
Yeah.
But on that note, let's get rid of that. Let's go through everybody here. Any other final thoughts for what we saw in the field and what we're going to see going ahead here the next week? Let me start with Sleek. Let me start with you.
I think Titel had brought up earlier that a cross-country trip could be a little problematic for Xavier. But keep in mind, of the three times they've gone to the Elite Eight, two of them involved the West region. One was in 2008 against West Virginia, and then ended up losing to UCLA. And just last year, they knocked off Arizona to even that rivalry at one game apiece. But we'll see if the fourth time is the charm as far as Xavier finally breaking through the glass ceiling to get to the Final Four.
We will. Rocco, how about you?
Yeah, first, before I get to the bracket, a quick shout-out to our former Husky coach, Lorenzo Romar, getting hired at Pepperdine officially today.
Yes.
Very happy for him. Hopefully he can bring them up to a competitive level, give Gonzaga and St. Mary's a little bit more of a challenge in that league. We already have Herb Sendek up at Santa Clara. So hopefully with some big name coaches, they can get some more talent in the WCC at the other schools. And then also Cal State Northridge hiring Mark Gottfried. So big day in Southern California. Very
interesting. So Lorenzo Romar and Mark Few together again. I'm excited. Right. I really
it's
am.
It's going to be epic, yes.
Yes.
And then, you know, in terms of the bracket, a couple interesting nuggets. In the last 14 years, the only team that didn't have blue in their color that won the title was Louisville. And as far as I last checked, that banner just got taken down. So you might want to pick somebody with blue. And then the other nugget would be in the last 4 years, a team that did not win their conference tournament won the title. So that would eliminate teams like Virginia, Cincinnati, Villanova, et cetera. So just keep that in mind.
Hmm. All right. Joby.
Yeah, the interesting thing that when you do a little regression analysis and that sort of thing, J&G – the first 42 in the J&G all made of the 44 at large bids. It fell apart on those final two. but it's interesting. The first four teams the J&G missed on when you go by the rankings were USC, Louisville, Baylor, Oklahoma State. What do those teams have in common? Did they, be in embarrassing for the NCAA to win games? Just saying, there might be a little human factor that comes into play at the very end and the selection.
Never in my wildest dreams, I think the Baylor would be the cleanest school in the conversation.
Matt, any other thoughts from you?
I will say, we can pan with how the committee selected the teams. God knows I have. I think three of the two seeds in the NIT are better than your last two teams in. However, for seeding, they might have actually just about got it right this year. Every team, the higher seed is favored over the lower seed, except for its pick-up in Arkansas Butler. So this, for once, the committee actually might be getting the seeding part close to right. The selection part, that's still another story.
I thought that I was hearing that one of the 10 seeds is now favored. I think it might be the...
It would be Butler.
I think it's a Butler game. It's now moved to a favorite over Arkansas. But
that opened pick'em.
It opened as a pick'em. You're correct.
Yeah.
John T.
Arkansas Butler, a perfect segue for my own final thought. So yeah. I had been pumping the Phil Knight Invitational, the PK80, ever since September when they first announced the teams. I thought it was going to be an amazing tournament, which it was. And I had said multiple times, I think, that this was going to be like the best NCAA tournament regional ever. Of 16 teams in it, 10 of them, count them, 10 are top 10 seeds. Arkansas and Butler, who we mentioned, Duke, Florida, Gonzaga, Michigan State, North Carolina, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Texas. One tournament with 10 top 10 seeds. I pray that they do this every year. It's like a preview of March Madness in November.
It was awesome. It was totally awesome.
David, you want to finish us off for the night?
Yes. I can't – one of the things we kind of touched on this at the beginning, and I wanted to segue into my final thought, that had Rohde beaten Davidson in the Atlantic 10 championship game, Notre Dame would have been in this field, which is astonishingly stupid to me. And it just kind of goes to show you, Chad, we do the survival board, and we don't want to hijack the process. We want to help the committee. You don't want to do it for them. They have to do it on their own. But do we need to help them more than what they are when they're making decisions like that?
Yeah, we did leave Notre Dame on there, which I guess it's us to, for, you know, it's our fault.
This could have been totally our fault.
Yeah.
So we do apologize, although thankfully Davidson cured that problem for us. But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We will be back again. I think next Monday night we're going to do a Sweet 16 preview. But until then, enjoy all the great games. Fill out those brackets. Take a look at the – rewind a little bit. Take a look at the bracket we just did and submit that one because it's going to be the winner, even though Matt hijacked it. And now we've really got it all in. But on behalf of John Salica, Joby Fortson, Matt Zukowski, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs, John Titel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.